Hey, it is an honor to be able to share tonight, to give this talk on in love serving one another from Galatians 5. Your pastor, Scott, has really served us all well. I asked him to send me again some things to keep in mind. And for your joy, he reminded all the speakers to make sure you keep it to 25 to 30 minutes. So that we might serve everyone real well. I pray that we might do that tonight. So we're going to talk about in love serving one another. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 13 through 15. And then I'm going to pray. And we're going to talk about this for a bit here tonight. So Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is filled up in one word, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Would you help us to hear what God the Holy Spirit would say tonight to all of us, and that we might listen and obey for Jesus' sake. Amen. So, in this passage, beginning in chapter 5, Paul is reminding, the guy that wrote this book is reminding us in verse 1 that Christ has set us free. And he is calling us to stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. That's chapter 5, verse 1. I know that I said I'm not going to speak on that. But it is important to note that there were some people that were really into their religious identity. I'm going to try not to use those sort of words here tonight. But there were some people that really thought that they were really cool followers of God, because they could say all the right words, all the good Sunday school words, because they wore the nice clothes. They didn't wear a hoodie whenever they preached. They probably had on a suit and tie. They looked a lot more presentable than this. And they looked like they had everything together, and they knew all the answers to the tough questions, and they followed a whole bunch of rules, and they thought because they obeyed, they could do things that would make God love them even more, or make God love them. And the message of Jesus is, no, there's no way that you and I can do these things or obey the rules. You can't obey your parents or obey God enough following rules to make God love you. That's not it at all. It is only possible to love God because God first loved us. And he gave Jesus as an atoning sacrifice. That's what that word is, propitiation. A sacrifice that takes away God's wrath. And he causes us to be born again. And he gives us a living hope. And he has made us free, so that you and I don't have to worry about a list of rules and say, maybe God will love me if I follow these rules. Maybe God will love me if I speak perfectly. Maybe God will love me if I obey my parents more. No, the Bible says that there's no way to obey perfectly. All of us actually have sinned miserably. Nobody has kept the rules. Nobody has followed God perfectly except for Jesus, God the Son. And the only way to be forgiven of our sin is by believing in him alone. Amen. And so that's what chapter 5 is about, is saying, remember this, you've been set free. You don't have to wonder, does God love me, whenever you think about how much have you kept this list of rules. But you were called to freedom, verse 13, brothers. But do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. So just because we don't have this list of do's and don'ts, you and I have to be reminded that because we're free from this list, we're free from this law, that doesn't mean that we should just do whatever we want, because we're under a greater law, the law of love. We are called to freedom, so don't use our freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. So what does that mean? Our freedom has a purpose, that you and I might be able to serve one another for the glory of God, and that we not use it as an opportunity for the flesh. Now, what does that mean? Don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Very simply, it means something like this. Because we're free, because we don't have this list of laws that make us right with God, because Jesus alone can make you and me right with God, it means that you and I should not use our freedom that we can be free in Christ to do what we want, to what makes us happy, and selfishly serve ourselves. Right? That's what that passage is saying. You and I, because Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ here tonight, we have this great opportunity that in our freedom, you and I are called not to be selfish, but to be selfless and serve one another in love. Right? How many people here, hopefully everybody here knows what selfishness is, right? Wasn't there a character on Sesame Street, if you've even heard of Sesame Street before? I know Sesame Street's not what it was, right? But who was the character Beaker on something? Muppets. Why am I saying Sesame Street, right? Muppets. Didn't he always say me, 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 all the time, right? Yeah, that's what selfishness is. Selfishness is just like Beaker from the Muppets. That's his name, right? I'm going to butcher another cartoon here in just a second. Just wait for it. But Beaker was always saying me, 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 me. And that is what selfishness is always looking to me, what makes me happy, instead of looking at you and what do you need and what builds you up and what causes you to want to serve and love and what causes you to have joy in the Lord. Instead, we're focused more so like Beaker with the me, 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 me. And has everybody here seen the Muppets? If you haven't seen the Muppets, raise your hand. All right, okay, there's some that haven't seen the Muppets. All right. Now you can go back and YouTube that and get an image of Beaker always saying me, 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 me. We're called not to be selfish, but to serve one another in love. Well, what is love? Well, 1 Corinthians defines love for us. It defines love in ways that you and I don't hear about on the news. Love is defined in so many different ways. If you look at posters, if you look at t-shirts, if you listen to the radio, if you watch movies and all of that stuff, the world is telling us something about love that is just not true. The Bible defines love is, well, God is love. It defines what is love. Love is patient and kind. All of those things that you can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is it always hopes, it always believes, all of those things. It's something totally different than the world says. And you and I, as Christ followers, are called not to think of ourselves first, but to think of our brothers and sisters first, and their needs before our very own. That is something that is totally different than what this world will tell you. This world out here will tell you that the most important person in this world is yourself. You've watched Disney movies before, right? I think probably on If you've watched, don't get mad at me for mentioning Frozen and stuff like that. But those, a lot of those shows, they tell you, believe in yourself, love yourself, all of those things. And the problem with that is it's a big lie. It's worse than a big lie. It's got music to it, so you remember it, and you remember all those songs, and you can't let it go. As much as you sing about it, you just can't let it go. And the thing about that is, you and I are not called to love ourselves like that, or to value ourselves more than others. But God's Word tells us first to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Right? So kids, don't be deceived whenever you turn on and watch. If your parents allow you to watch Frozen, some people are going to write a review saying, please don't bring that up. But if you watch stuff like that, don't be deceived. The world doesn't revolve around you and me. Jesus Christ is more important than everything else that this world has to offer. And Jesus Christ is, as Shailen says, the author, perfecter, and star of the greatest story that will never, ever end. Amen? And Jesus Christ, our Lord, calls us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love one another, and to consider one another's needs before we even consider our own. Okay, so at men's breakfast the other day, we were talking and trying to think of some words we can remember, and I'm going to give you two words tonight as we think about what is love. And verse 13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is filled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So I want to give us some practical ideas. What does that look like? Okay? So don't fall asleep. Hopefully you can understand what I'm saying. What does practical love look like? Two words I was thinking of, all right? Is love is action, and it's visible. Okay? I'm going to talk about those two things. You can say a lot of other things about love, but it is action and it is visible. John Piper says this about love. Love, and don't fall asleep on this John Piper quote, okay? And I know preachers like to quote John Piper. Hopefully this is good for you. Love is the extent that you and I will go to make someone else eternally happy. What does that mean? Everyone, I don't know what that means. Love means, he says, according to John Piper, he says, love is whenever you and I love God so much with our heart, soul, mind, and strength that we are totally not focused on ourselves, but our minds and our hearts and everything about us is focused on loving God and loving our neighbor and as ourselves in such a way that you and I are constantly focused on what it means to serve one another and to submit to one another that they might be pointed to Christ. What a great definition. That's not what the world says. I agree with John Piper on this. You and I are called to love in visible ways with action. Not just words, but definitely with words. But we are called to a visible love that is active. Think about it. Jesus came. The Father sent the Son. And what did Keith just read in 1 John chapter 4? He just read about this. Brothers, you and I love because God first loved us. God took action first to rescue us from our sins had God not made His love visible and active, you and I who believe would never have believed. It was God who first took that step, and He sent His Son, and He died, and He rose from the dead, and He did that for His own glory, that you and I might be saved through Him. It was active. It was visible. And you and I are called in the very same way to love one another. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Right? We are called to love in visible and active ways. In fact, and I'm going to come back to this in just a second, but there's a man, it doesn't matter if you remember his name, one of my favorite authors of all time, his name's Francis Schaeffer. If you have trouble sleeping tonight, I could recommend one of his books. You could listen to it or read it at bedtime. You'll be asleep in no time. All right? Great stuff. I will tell you, if you're in for it, it's really good. Get an audio book of this book, The Mark of the Christian. Excellent book. If I could recommend one of his books to you, The Mark of the Christian, it'll blow you away. I've listened to it many times. Our mission teams, we listen to it in the van on the way to and from Mexico many times. The Mark of the Christian, great book. I weep every time I listen to this. And this is what he says. Francis Schaeffer went through... Now get this. Don't fall asleep just yet. I'm obeying this 25 minutes. But Francis Schaeffer said this. There was a time in history in this country where there was one church, the denomination he belonged to, kind of like we're Baptist, and there was so much fighting. There was so much gossip. There was so much anger. There was so much hate. There was so much people talking about each other and people talking behind their backs. And all of these people said, well, we belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. That whenever he saw all of these people being so mean and hateful and angry and talking bad about things and saying bad things about people and bad things about people's moms and that sort of thing, they were all of those things. It caused him to doubt whether or not Christianity was even real. Because he looked back at that and he said, something is not right about this. There's all these people that say, I love God. But their actions toward one another say something totally different. Now don't fall asleep because I'm going there. You and I can do and have done the exact same thing. In fact, right now, if you I'm speaking probably mainly to adults, if you have Twitter, if you have social media, you and I see that played out right now. There's this theory, that theory, this scandal, that scandal. There's this person's opinion. There's this blasting of this. Let's cancel this group. Let's talk bad about this group. Let's talk about what this person did. Let's talk about that. And everything that the world is seeing right now is anything but visible and active love. Right? So much so, Francis Schaeffer says in The Mark of the Christian, he says this, why is this visible love and serving one another so important? And that is because Jesus gave the right to the world to judge whether or not the Father has sent the Son based on the visible love they see among Christians. Ouch. 1 John 4:13 through 14. The world will know that the Father has sent the Son because of the visible love that is displayed. Friends, this is no laughing matter. This isn't a soft subject. This isn't something that's like, oh man, you're talking about love. Let's talk about something real difficult. Let's talk about this is something that is so important, brothers and sisters. There are probably people in this room tonight, or not room, whatever this building is tonight, that might be struggling with whether or not God is real. There might be people in this room tonight that are wondering, are these people crazy? Is this true? I don't believe it. And you and I are called to serve one another in love and make this love visible before the watching world. Why? That the world may know that the Father has sent the Son. Friends, hey, kids, listen to this. Here's a way Scott cares for you guys so much. Pastor Scott cares for you. He's like, hey, when you get up there and you start talking about all this stuff and you make all... He didn't say it like this, all right? I'm embellishing. I admit that. But he said, when you get up there and preach, make sure that you don't forget the kids. Make sure that you don't forget the single people, that you don't forget the women, that you don't forget the married people. All of this. So kids, here's something. Here's something to think about. If you are a follower of Jesus, I'm going to challenge you to think about ways that instead of doing something that you want to do right now, think about maybe something your family might need. You may want to get up from here and go run and play, but does mom need help with a younger sibling for just a second? Is there a friend here that's really struggling? Maybe feels out of place? Is there somebody that you need to pray with? Here's a way that somebody made love visible to me tonight. My good friends live right here on this road, right before the Woody speed trap. Out here, right before you get to the speed trap where Woody camps out with his little radar gun. But they live up there. They were instrumental in leading my parents to the Lord. They serve. They're not pastors. They're not, they just love God. They just love God and they love people. And they shared the love of Christ with my parents. And because of that, my parents came to know the Lord. I love them. I went over there just to tell them I love them. And they said, you know what? Can we pray for you? And I want to tell you, they're even serving you. Here's what they did when Bill and Sharon Rogers, right over here on this road, they said, you know what? Can we pray for you? I bet there's going to be kids and adults tonight that don't yet believe in Jesus. Can we pray that they will come to know Jesus? So those people right over there that you don't even know, right before Woody's speed trap, they were praying for you tonight. And they were loving the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And they were serving you in love by praying for you. Let us forget about ourselves and what we need and our own needs and wants. And instead, in love, serve one another. Why? Because God is displayed as great whenever you and I do so. Amen. People look and they say, how in the world is it that you guys are so loving to one another? What do you mean that somebody came over and mowed your grass without even being asked? What do you mean that somebody came over and fixed your hot water heater? What do you mean that somebody came over and showed you how to arrange your house so that you could have a welcoming, nice, hospitable living room? What do you mean that somebody like Cindy Loving, she every year, I don't know if she did it this year, but every year she makes these cranberry bliss bars. Because why Cindy? Because Cindy knows me and she knows I love Starbucks cranberry bliss bars, and they're so expensive, but hers are better because she puts more butter, I'm sure, and cream and sugar in them than even Starbucks, and they're so good and I look forward to them. And I don't know if you have them. Don't. No condemnation if you don't have them. I will forever remember the way you served me like that, but it requires that you and I are active, that we're watchful, that you and I look out for one another's needs, that we're not just like Beaker with the me. And I think it's very interesting, this passage right here at the very end, verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Friends, let me tell you, I referee pickleball games now, and I know it's kind of nerdy. I used to umpire softball games. Okay? Let me just tell you, the most dangerous and the meanest softball games I've ever been to are church league softball games. And we've had the police there multiple times. It's the only time I've ejected somebody from a game. They're mean. All right? That should break our hearts. But you're laughing because you know that it's true. That's the thing. That's why you're laughing. Sometimes as believers, we can be so mean and hateful, and it should not be. What happens whenever we're kind of like, I think on the Lego movie, wasn't it Unikitty that was always just like always so positive and always saw rainbows and butterflies everywhere? And then at one point, didn't she like get really mad and she just exploded or something like that in the middle of the Lego movie? Or did I butcher that? The point of that is that it is a Lego movie, right? Uh-huh. With Unikitty, right? Okay. Didn't she explode?
She snapped,
right? Why? Because everybody was fighting and biting and devouring everybody, and she had enough with all this positive thinking, and just boom! And I know, hopefully it's funny. It's to prove a point here. The point is this. Friends, when you and I bite and devour one another, you and I are testifying before the world that this really isn't real. That should cause us to tremble. And I'm telling you, we're called to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we're called to love our neighbors, ourselves, that God might be to God be the glory for the great things He has done, that the world may know the Father has sent the Son, that He might receive the glory. I want to close with this. You know, maybe there really are some of you tonight that are really struggling with this. I mean, I've talked to some who are like, yeah, I'm not sure really that I believe this, or I don't believe all of this. I hope that you can see in what you've heard and what you've heard over the years from your parents, what you've heard before proclaimed at Heritage of Grace, Rockport, from, I don't know, some radio preacher or something like that that you've heard. My sincere hope and prayer is that you would see God's love displayed in His Son, and that you would believe upon Him and be saved. That's number one. Number two, brothers and sisters, let us love one another. For love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Amen? Amen. Kind of also reminds me of, some of the adults will know this, the cool kids will know who Petra is. All right. I thought about playing. How many know who Petra? See, look, Brian McAllister. I knew I liked you. He knows who Petra is. So, like, go YouTube Petra Love. All right. Well, with your parents' help, right? Parents don't just let them go to YouTube and go for that. But Petra Love, great song, and I love the chorus. Now you're going to be thinking of it, right? Because it repeats 1 John 4:13. Yeah, see, like other people already know this song. It's in your head, the chorus. Love knows when to let go. Love knows when to say no. You know the song, right, Cindy? Do you know that song, right? And love grows in the light of the sun, and love shows the world that the Son of Love has come. Why is it so important that you and I serve one another in love, first and foremost, that the world may know that the Father has sent the Son, that He might receive the glory? So let us get a focus of attention off of ourselves and focused intently on God, who has called us to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Lord, help us. Help us to see our great need. Our very great need. To put aside our own wants and wishes and desires, and to follow hard after You, wherever You lead. Help us to serve our brothers and sisters in love, praying with one another, forgiving one another, speaking truth to one another, correcting one another in love with patience and kindness, with great humility. Lord, would You help us to do those things that can only be accomplished through You? Would You help us to be a forgiving people? A people that expresses to one another the great love with which You've loved us, and display the great love that You've given us to love one another, that You might receive the glory, we pray. Amen.